Good morning and welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmton Eagle FM. It's a Thursday and tomorrow is Friday. I'm broke, but it's still Thursday and tomorrow is Friday. And thank you, Mike and John, for holding it up there, you know, for warming the stage for the real comedian to come in and, you know, do his thing. Right, right. This is your mouth. No go put you in trouble, though. This is your mouth. And as always, I'm here until the hour of 11. And as always, we don't do serious here. You come here with seriousness and you get a heart attack. The best we can do is call an ambulance. Actually, if it was up to me, I'll just let you die. So we have people with a sense of humor out there. But I'm not saying I'll do that. And definitely recommending it. Wink, wink. Definitely not recommending it. Then wink, wink. Jeez. Now it's sound, you know, diabolical. Now. So, today, yesterday I was on the subject yesterday was more social. The one for today is more of a combo of both social and, political. Except it leans a little bit more towards politics. Now, before you start, you know, recharging your superpower and like, yes, you know, it's time to fire some shots at some political parties. Relax. Relax and breathe. And make I remind you again, it's a comedy show. You know, sponsor your own political campaign if you want to do your own cooking. Or, you know, apply to Eagle FM for your own show. You know, just, dear John Walenga. Actually, if you are writing a proposal, don't start like that. Dear Honorable Igwe, incumbent Prime Minister, His Excellency, Founder, CEO, Executive, Shareholder, Eagle FM, I would like to address, request you to give me a slot on your radio station. No, you can't put it like that. Not on your radio station. No. On your highly esteemed and highly respected and worldwide recognized radio station with wonderful, excellent, really funny short. Actually, no, don't put it. A tall, dark, and handsome Kavango guy works. The one with a deep, charming voice. If you put mosquito voice, you know, go get an issue. And you know, go get an issue at all. You know, the funny thing is, actually, it's not funny. The scary thing is, someone out there could be taking notes of these things. And we're like, actually, I mean, you make a brilliant idea. I'm just definitely gonna do that. I'll tell you what's gonna happen if you write a letter like that to John. Well, you're gonna make his day. That's one thing is for sure, because he's gonna laugh his lungs out and then cry at the end because he was actually suspecting one of the biggest fears that I also share with a lot of people that have a shred of common sense in their heads. And that is, chances are very high, this guy or this woman has both a voter's card and a driver's license. I know. Some of the reasoning coming from adults, sometimes it's kind of difficult to argue with him or her. You just listen to the nonsense that's coming out of the mouth and you can't help but go like, unbelievable. And a lot of people have not, a lot of people that actually have a terrible sense of humor they are terrible at putting two and two together, especially when it comes to my jokes. And I take advantage of that, like, as much as I can. So every time that I hear an adult spewing absolute garbage, my first question is, do you have a voter's card? Most of them have gone, yes. Do you have my next question is, do you have a driver's license? Again, most of them have always gone with, yes. That's when I go, we are doomed. We are doomed. Doomed, I tell ya. Because if a person that reasons like this one, has a voter's card and a driver's license. I understand all the car accident statistics. But I totally understand now. And the funny thing is we all blame alcohol. Actually, sometimes natural stupidity is worse than alcohol. But no one seems to be doing statistics on that because, well, people will be offended. Now, but look, when it comes to my wonderful advice here on this platform, thanks to my microphone here in my face, actually it has an Eagle FM label, show off. Yeah, you know, the advice I always give is you must address some of these things the American way. One thing I like about the Americans is that every time they want to justify doing something, they give it a new name. You know, it's not corruption. It's not bribing. It's lobbying. You see, now everyone can do it because, well, you just change the word. Don't hate the player. Change the game. That's Steve Harvey's advice. It's not bribing. No, it's lobbying. If it happens in Namibia, that's corruption. It's bribes. But when the Qatari gives a plane to a whole president, no, that's not bribe. How dare you? Bribe is such a dirty word. These days we go with lobbying. That's like Turaboy grabbing your phone, and then when they're arrested by the police goes like, why did you guys grab his phone, grab this guy's phone? And they go like, actually, it's not grabbing. It's called, high-speed repossession. Or more like, accelerated repossession. It's not grabbing. Mm-mm. Accelerated or high-velocity repossession. You know, just throwing some jargon and then and I really like words, though. I really like, because they have the effect of, making something look nice, even if it's not that nice. Take, for example, in your family, your uncle goes cuckoo. By cuckoo, I mean nuts. And then, well, he obviously needs rehabilitation in a mental institution at this point. Now, we can all agree at this point that you are not allowed to say, I'm a comedian, I'm allowed. Any one of you guys that like to have serious conversations, you are not allowed to say a house full of crazy people. Because, well, the word crazy is sort of like, has some, socially cringy. No, it's a mental institution. A mental rehabilitation facility. You know, he's not enslaved by alcohol. He's addicted to alcohol. He's not enslaved by a cigarette. He's addicted to smoking. Fascinating. You have got to love literature. Well, it's not cheating. No, we are not cheating on each other. No. We have an open relationship. All of a sudden, it doesn't look that bad anymore. Look, it's coming with STD if protection is not used, that's for sure. But look, the language used is just so fascinating how it takes something that's seemingly negative and then gives it a somewhat of a very rosy picture. Yeah. Well. They're not having sex, no. Who'd want to listen to that? Just take for example, you're a couple, you are just walking in the street and, just walking in the street, you run into a familiar face and he goes like, oh, I see you guys are still having sex. Oh man, don't say that. Which is why we go, oh, I see you guys are, you guys are still seeing each other. Ouch. You see, now that... Oh man. Because now what's running, you see, now what's going on in my head is just how many things that are somewhat, that are considered socially cringy that we just decided to rename. No one says, if you see someone just putting on their best cologne, their best perfumes on Friday, and they're going out, and you ask them, "Oh, I see you're going to get drunk," and you're like, "What's wrong with you, dude? I'm not going to get drunk. Well, I'm just going out." And then he shows up drunk. Like, "Well, I thought you said you were not going to get drunk." It's just that in a societal lingo that is, you know, societally accepted. "Hey, how are you? I see you are going to get drunk." It's not a very accepted language. "No, I see you are going out." "Excellent. Now you're talking." "No, I see you're going out." "Yes." "Oh, I see you are going to your girlfriend's house." "Oh, yes, yeah." "Uh-huh. I see you two are going to take each other's clothes off." At this point, that couple will be looking at you like, "Dude, what's wrong with you? Why do you say that?" Now, I didn't make the rules. I didn't come up with the language. I just like to observe. And first of all, laugh at my own jokes myself. Just laugh them all out. So that when I talk about here, I don't laugh at my own jokes because, well, it's that's just creepy. You rolling on the floor at your own jokes is just, it just doesn't make sense. So, there are a lot of things, you know, we had to rename so that it looks, that's one of the reasons why I like medicine. You have an irregular bowel movement. You're not going to the toilet enough. Now, imagine you going to the pharmacist and then the pharmacist, looks at your medication and is like, "Hey, I see you have been having constipation this whole week." At this point, everyone in the queue is going like, "Hey, that pharmacist is, is a little too honest with my STD. I'm going to find a more discreet pharmacist." So, moving on. Let's get back to the political part. And today we are going to talk a little bit about corruption from more of a general level, in a literal, more like a term of it. This is something that basically crossed my head, my mind, when it comes to the lingo that we use in society to sort of give ourselves a sense of comfort into continuing to do the things that we like to do because, well, we just don't want to throw in a towel. And I know it's excellent. Where do you think the word, the phrase intelligence community comes from? It's Western. Secret Service. Now, let's just look at what the Secret Service do. First of all, the entire foundation of every Secret Service across the planet is based on lying and stealing and killing people. And now, to sort of like make the people that are in this line of work more comfortable with the diabolical work they do, we decided to give them a fancy name. Intelligence Services. Intelligent. That's the best you could come up with. Intelligent. You mean a bunch of thieves? No, you can't say that. These, they are on a recon mission. Reconnaissance. No, they are spying. They are spying. They are neutralizing the target. No, they went to kill someone. What neutralize? They went to kill someone. Tango down. Which tango down? I shot the idiot and now he's dead. You see, when you just look at the language that I'm using right now, you understand why, believe me, honesty is 100% honesty is not a good thing. It is a terrible thing. Nope. So, intelligence community, that was a genius move. And then now you have fast food. Fast food makes you fat. You eat so much of fast food, you're not going to be very fast for a very long time. But it turns out it's first, my God, it's genius. And then my favorite part of all is one that I put on my description. Chances are very high I'll still have to murder someone. So, like George Carlin puts it, which is who the guy that basically gave me this genius idea to more like sort of like start with this today. And that's whoever came up with the whole idea of swearing on a religious book before taking a position of power and before testifying in court, that person was a genius. So I'll ask a question that George Carlin once asked. What is the magic behind putting your one hand on the Bible and one is lifted when you are swearing in, when you are being sworn in, you know, in an off, in a position of power, or when you are, or when you are testifying in court? Does that all of a sudden magically takes the lying out of you? It doesn't. Especially in court, it's even more funny. The judge is lying, both the prosecution and the defense are lying, and the client, the witness, everyone is lying. But all these people, they have the Bible in there, or the Quran, depending on your jurisdiction, of course. You now have to put your one hand on the Bible and say, "I will tell the truth and nothing but the truth." And again, nothing can be further from the truth. People swear on the Bible, swear on the Quran, take the stand, and then just go ahead and straight up lie. The judge knows you're lying, the prosecution knows you're lying, but it's like we just go ahead and lie, like we just didn't swear on the Bible that we're not gonna lie. At this point, I'm tempted to ask, I thought I was the comedian. It turns out, wherever I look, I'm surrounded by comedians. Very fancy. Comedians with fancy cars, fancy titles, fancy houses, show off, and fancy everything. But they are comedians nonetheless. My favorite example of that is in the 1950s, a lot of scientists started coming up with evidence. Evidence was somewhat irrefutable at this point, unlike what it was in the 1920s, over the nexus or the link or between lung cancer and, and cigarette smoking. So, a lot of, tobacco, the big tobacco, it wasn't big tobacco then. It was just, a bunch of fragmented cigarette making companies. So when scientists started, showing more and more proof, showing the relationship between cigarette smoking and lung cancer, these companies basically decided to gang up together because they now had a common enemy, which was science was trying, literally threatening their profits. So they decided to come together and they formed one heck of a cabal. It's a cabal or calabar. No, calabar is in Nigeria. It's that place that's also mostly made fun of by a lot of Nigerians, especially when it comes to their interesting cuisine. So they made an interesting, one giant cabal. This was in the 1950s. These guys would not see the inside of the courtroom, despite the scientific evidence being brought forward, irrefutable scientific evidence linking cigarette smoking to lung cancer. These guys would not be in the courtroom until 1994, I think. 1993-1994. That's when the US saw one of the biggest cases. I think it was a class action, because this is that's a fancy way of saying a lot of different people that were affected by that, either were directly impacted by cigarette smoking and they had lung cancer, or those ones or relatives who or people that lost their relatives to lung cancer associated to cigarette smoking. So they also different people coming from different areas filed a case against the one, call them a respondent now, who will have to go and respond, because this was a civil case, I think. So 1994, a bunch of executives of course did what you find a lot in the Christian world, just put your hand on this Bible and repeat after me. I'll tell nothing, nothing but the truth. So help me God, I swear. if there's a hell, we are cooked. Pun is intended on that one. And now, these guys placed their hands on the Bible, one in the air, and swore to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, and lied through their teeth all throughout the proceedings. I know. The meth for me doesn't meth very well. And you see the same thing with public office bearers. We have people on this continent, not to mention any names, that have been, in presidential position since the 1980s and have been swearing on the Bible. Have been swearing on the Bible all throughout the. Now this is why I like politics. Politics doesn't joke, Baba. They rig an election and then swear on the Bible to tell nothing the truth and nothing but the truth. Get on the other side and then steal money. Well, it's called corruption, but well, it's a comedy show. Let's go with steal. But before we continue, let's take a commercial break. Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM.
June 7 Adventure Tours is offering an exclusive 20% discount for all local Namibians for the month of June and July. Get ready for an unforgettable quad biking and sandboarding adventure in the dunes. Parents, please bring the children to come and have fun on 20% discounted prices this coming June and July month. For more information, contact 081-624-9665.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Welcome back to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. And as always, I'm here until the hour of 11, so I still have 59 minutes to go. So why am I starting with all this language, and then how society sort of like renames a lot of things in order for us to make ourselves comfortable so we can continue doing all the things that well we actually want to do. And then I decided to go I decided to look at something. You know, after, how do I put this? Before the whole conflict between Iran and Israel, I realized that, I didn't actually know a lot about Iran. So then I was shocked to find out two things. One, it turns out, in the capital, Tehran, they say, is that Patrice Lumumba Street in Tehran, the capital city of Iran? While y'all are naming your streets something Schweppes German, they are naming real African legends. And y'all are going, you know what, that's Rarara Street. Yes, this is my continent. Right, that's one thing. That's one thing I learned. And the second thing is that, if you look up if you look up a list of the biggest shopping malls in the world, if you look up the biggest shopping malls in the world, Iran is in the top five. I know, right? Like, now according to Guinness World Record, the biggest shopping mall is in the UAE. Now that's where you find the biggest debate now. Iran Mall. The world's biggest shopping mall, Iran Mall, is located near Lake Chidka in Tehran. I know. Every time we watch movies, Iran is shown, actually a lot of countries in the Middle East, they are shown as, you know, the only part we see just somewhere in the village with some more mud houses, not very different from how Africa is marketed by a lot of Western mainstream media. But then again, I know that every time we talk about this, we like to make it look like, it's the West's fault. We don't know these things. They are doing their thing. If you want to market your continent, you do it. You want them to market your continent on their budget. Point of correction. You want them to market your continent on their budget. Really? No. Market it yourself. If you want people to know the real Africa, you market the real Africa. Now, this is why I like Pan-Africanists now, because they have gone bananas with this, with the emergence of social media. They have just gone like, you know what? The Africa, now you find a bunch of videos, especially on TikTok, the Africa, the media shows you versus the real Africa. And the real Africa is, as you'd expect, beautiful. Then again, I don't blame Hollywood for doing that. One, they have an end goal. You have to understand that. They have an end goal. And the end goal is, for the most part, to sell foreign aid. And you can't, you can't make people give you aid money if you keep showing shopping malls. They'll be like, okay, why are we sending my money to, why am I sending my money to those guys? It looks like they're doing fairly well for me. Now, for you to get money, you have to show parts of Africa where, you know, deep in the village. And by the way, village is not poverty. And I cannot believe we just decided to classify it like that. It's not poverty. Oh, dear Lord. What's the difference between poverty and wealth? Like, from an African perspective. We don't know that. We just decided to pick the Western definition of the difference between poverty and wealth, and we decided to run with it. Unless you have a vrupa, you are not rich. Yeah, look, in Western terms, absolutely. But then again, that's the economic model we are running, so we might as well just go with it. It's not a house until it's made out of, foreign material. It's not a house. And then we turn around and see that, I see some videos coming out of the American, coming out of the U.S. like, the reason why we decided to make our house out of mud is because this is like one, it's a new thing, and it's environmentally friendly. Like, before you got to environmentally friendly, you said something. What's that again? I said it's a new thing. Making a house out of mud is a new thing. Making a house out of mud is a new thing. Hello. An African here, born and raised, too broke to leave the continent. I would have, but, too broke to leave the continent. Make I tell you, house out of mud, that's what we do. Believe me, climate change mitigation strategy being pushed left, right, and center, very soon you will see some multinational corporation, subsidizing houses made out of mud, and it will become a trend now. Everyone will be like, yeah, you know what, this house is made out of concrete, according to the new available scientific research results, coming out of the West, of course. These houses have this, they are carcinogenic. You didn't know that? They are said to be carcinogenic according to the newly found research. It's not new, it's as old as time. You were just lazy to read. You are basically lazy to do everything, anything apart from eating. But that's, look at this way. I had no idea that when it comes to the size of a shopping mall, there's a debate between the UAE and Iran, which one of them has the biggest. I mean, I would have thought between the UAE and maybe Singapore, between the UAE and maybe, Switzerland, UAE and, Brussels, UAE and the Netherlands, so, the US or Canada, France. Turns out, nope. Tehran. I know. It's amazing how it took, flying projectiles for us to learn, a lot of people actually were shocked to learn that the official language of Iran is not Arabic. A lot of them were shocked to find out that the largest ethnicity is not Muslims. And by the way, Muslim is not an ethnicity. Islam is not an ethnicity. That's like saying, by ethnic makeup, if you look at the African continent, 90% of it is Christian. Like, huh? I thought you said ethnicity. Yes, I said ethnicity. Yeah, so where was I? Now, if you look at it ethnic-wise, 90% of the African continent is Christian. I was like, okay, now, just easy, be kind and rewind him. First of all, Christian, you're talking about a religious makeup. Ethnic makeup, Africa is the most diverse on the continent. You have a lot of ethnic groups on the continent. A lot. And we do this a lot. Believe me, we do this a lot to the point where some countries have just accepted our dumbassery and they're just flying with it. Take China, for example. You have no idea how embarrassed I was to learn that there is no such thing as speak Chinese. Speak Chinese. Right, now let's speak Chinese. Which one? Mandarin or Cantonese? What's Mandarin? Right. Now, that's a lot of us when we say Chinese, I think what we mean is Mandarin. We don't say, can you please speak to me some Indian? Because we know India is a country, not a language. I know. Hindi is the language. India is the country. Now, imagine someone coming to you and saying, please, I want you to, I want you to speak to me some Namibian. You just look at them and go like, right. Oh, you're one of those. Some Namibian. Really? Are you high? Which one is it? Oshuambo, Damara, Herero, Kavango, Zambezian. And by the way, these are also regions, Kavango, Zambezi, Oshuambo is, that's even the biggest region. Which dialect? I know. That just goes to show just how little we know about each other. And which makes my job easier, believe me. As a comedian, it makes my job easier because it makes the cooking easy. If we all knew this, I would go like, okay, now what on earth am I talk about? So, a break. On the other side, I'll start taking my calls. I want to take a few calls, today and also at the same time. Padma, I want to also to some degree talk about, Malaysia. You see, the global economy is like a chessboard. The best way to win is to understand how to play the game. Don't just storm in blind. Now, you see, in Malaysia, in the 1988 or 1989, there are three main guys that understood that. There's one company that was British owned, based in the UK, that owned a large chunk of the Malaysian land. And they actually had a lot of plantations in Malaysia. And of course, the biggest shareholders in that company were all based in the same, the same sphere of the planet. So three main officials from the Malaysian government decided, you know what? Well, it's time to beat these guys at their own game. And they decided to take the battle to the stock exchange. And by the time that the British woke up and realized what had happened, the Malaysians were celebrating. It was one of the most genius moves in the economic, in the global economic chessboard. Let's take a commercial break, pay the bills, come on the other side. I'll walk you through that story in between my calls. Mind the gap with Helmut.
Unlock your future with Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. 2025 intake for June, July is open for certificate and diploma in information technology, software engineering, human resources management, business administration, and various short courses such as AutoCAD, computer literacy skills, A+, and PC technician, etc. Goldstone Software Engineering Institute's courses are fully accredited by NQA and courses are very affordable. Goldstone Software Engineering, equipped with modern facilities, and courses are offered by qualified professionals. Funding is available from NSFAF and local banks. For entry requirements and to apply, go to our website www.goldstone.com.na or email admission@goldstone.com.na. For more information, call Anaria at 081-6576-365 or Aaron at 081-6354-851 or 061-234186.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The time is 16 past the hour of 10. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. And now let's look into something that is known. It turns out what is known in the global world, in the world of global economy, as Guthrie Don Reid, Malaysia. The Italian job, that's in reference to the Italian job, even though that's a whole different genius piece of work. It's in the name, by the Italians. Okay. Eagle FM, good morning.
More, Hermos. 100.
Who, 200?
It's all right, man. Hey, it's been a while, my friend. How are you?
All good. It's been a while. Please participate.
Yeah. Helmut, when you are saying the taller boy, when they love the what? Their cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
No, then we call it shifting. this boy was not shifting the phone because...
Shifting ownership.
Yeah.
It's not stealing, officer. I didn't steal, no.
No, I didn't steal at all. He was just shifting the phone.
Yeah, it was just shifting ownership.
Exactly.
It's amazing. It's amazing how a change of few words make everything look nice, even if it was terrible in the beginning.
Yeah. I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. That's the president was just donated.
No, it's not corruption. What do you mean corruption?
No, no. You are donated.
It was a donation.
Exactly.
Yeah. A show of, a show of diplomatic statesman relationship.
Yeah, exactly. You see, that is the right word. You know the certificate word. Oh, we can say equipment. Mm-hmm. You never understand a common man.
Mm-hmm. No. It's a common man. You will not understand.
Exactly. But the rumor that people are then shifting and left and right. Are you going with your bride, France, to the embassy there?
Which bra?
Your bra, Engari.
For one, he speaks French. I don't.
No. You copy. You also go. Yeah, I think you also speaking French. That time you explained something in French. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy, you can imagine, he will just put me in trouble for you know, on purpose. What I will say is is something nice. He will translate it to me. Oh, he is insulting you. Unbelievable. He needs to be jailed.
Yeah, he must go to jail.
Yeah,
no.
He must go to jail.
No, we'll find out even the nice word in French.
Are you kidding me? It's French. Every word sounds nice. Even every insult word. Sounds nice.
But maybe we can wait for the other diplomat and then you'll go understudy. Maybe they'll send you to Tripoli or Darfur. Mm-hmm. Or maybe Baghdad. Which one you prefer?
Tripoli right now, Tripoli during Gaddafi's regime, that would have been better, but right now, Tripoli, And the Darfur is not, you're not helping, you're not giving me a lot of options here.
There's a lot of oil.
The Darfur region is just, you have a lot of power struggle going on there.
Actually,
I apologize. It's not power struggle. No, it's a diplomatic disagreement.
It's a diplomatic disagreement.
Diplomatic disagreement with firearms.
Exactly, because you can't separate us from, you live in the other region without oil, then the other one, they are cooking like nobody.
I know.
Hey,
right?
Come on. Are you not?
That's the thing. I swear, these guys. This is why I like Americans. No, we're not going to war because they have oil. No. Oil is such a terrible word. We are going there for democracy.
It's democracy. Yeah, they can't kill us. No, we want to everybody to have a democracy. And then lay down, you see that, I think they have to have a ceasefire. But you just attacked them yesterday.
I know.
That's a democracy way. That we just attack them with a democracy because they are arresting people, right?
And look, it's a good thing you brought that up. I think the whole thing of ceasefire is another diplomatic way of saying, okay, I give up.
Already, because the response, you are not waiting for that response.
Oh, no, you're being passed. Big time. But you can't say that. You can't say that as a, you know, as an honorable His Excellency. I give up. No, that sounds cowardly. No, you have to say, let's have a ceasefire.
Yeah. After all, you get a hit.
Let's have a ceasefire is diplomatic for, please stop bombing me because when...
I think you are small boy, but I don't think I can handle your fight.
Sorry.
You'll be like another brother of ours. Like, are you all right? He's like, nah, I'm not. I'm
dying here.
Okay. Let us end the match here before the knockout. Like, yo. Yeah, I'm telling you, Elmo, that things are happening these days. Yeah? You're just wondering, what is going on? Because even small kids, sometimes they can fight for their toys. But they make up the difference to continue playing.
Yeah.
But these guys, they are just somewhere. You can see that things which are happening here, it's not really like democracy or whatever you are talking about, or humanity.
Yeah.
These guys just going out to bomb people and killing people for fun.
Well, it's not a, well, we don't use the word killing. That's such a, you know, that's such a dirty word.
It's no, a big word.
We neutralize. Yeah, it's, if we are not neutralized, for those ones that die, you know, those ones that die from, us trying to neutralize one target with a bomb.
Yeah,
those ones that die on the side, those ones are not, you know, we didn't kill civilians. Those are civilian casualty.
It's a casualty, yeah.
Yeah, civilian casualty. Collateral damage. The language is amazing.
Yes, I'm telling you. Very complicated for a common man like in Africa us to understand.
I know, right?
And the thing is that you, Helmut, the way I'm looking at our African leaders, you know, they are at the summit. They are, I don't know, because of maybe they are here at home. They can hear, they are long when it comes to facing America. But when they are the other side, maybe because of their cost to home in Africa, they can say whatever they want against America. But if it was, this summit was in America, in somewhere in DC, Washington or somewhere in California, they would speak different language. I don't know. Maybe something I think we, if you pick up that line, the way our current president and the others, the way they are speaking, you can see that, hey, they are bombing, they are coming out with, I'm telling you, strong word toward American.
Mandume. That's very human. There is no way I'm starting a fight in your house. But when, you come to my house, but when you come to my house,
I'm telling you, I was taking it like a yo. Yeah, maybe because of a trial, maybe Oh, what's going on? The summit is in Angola, in Rwanda.
No, I think that's I think that's one sign that an empire is declining. And if you just look at the decline of the Soviet Union, this was basically Soviet Russia in the 1970s and 80s. I mean, a lot of their own republic statesmen were beginning to think twice before following orders coming out of the Kremlin. So that's how you know that I don't have the grip on things that I thought I had.
Yeah, the way we thought it was going to happen this way. Yeah, that's the thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I think sometimes when you are losing power, you don't realize that the damage which you've been doing to the people is always coming back. Whatever you've done is always that. I think in France, I always say no. When you are pointing somebody a finger, remember the five finger are pointing to you.
Yeah.
Yeah. That is what is happening to America now.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking, look, how can you take a side of what? These guys, they just literally destroy what? What this Hamas, what the lightweight man, not Hamas.
The Gaza Strip was just a bomb to smithereens.
This country, what they call them, this
Palestine.
Palestine, Then now, they thought maybe Iran to be the same. Remember when you become a bully, you just step it to everybody who's coming, even you don't know this one is strong, how strong is. Did you see how the people are demonstrating in Israel? We are sorry. Iran,
Actually, demonstrations against the current Israeli government have been going on for a while, even before the 13th of June. The current Israel Prime Minister is under investigation for a number of, crimes that opposition parties from, mostly opposition parties from his own country, accusing his administration. A lot of things is basically taking place within Israel that we don't see because we're exposed to, to Western media. So, it took me a while before I learned that if I want to learn at least something that is closer to the truth about Israel, I'll just read, either Haaretz or the Israeli Times. Because if you read especially Western mainstream media, my God.
And this is CNN. They'll just show you even the what, where Ilan was bombed. But when it comes to check it to Israel, where...
No. You didn't do anything.
Nothing. Not really? Only two people been killed in that attack. Hey, it's a lie.
Nah, lie.
But
look, but also, if I got into a fight outside there and I was beaten and I got home and my girlfriend asked, so what happened? I'll be like, I mean, how are
you?
Yeah, I showed that guy. I showed that guy. He will never play with me again.
You don't know we have a mark.
And the one bleeding.
But yeah, I showed that guy.
He will never play with me again.
And that is what we are getting.
There's no I'm showing up in front of my girlfriend and then telling her that you're that guy was showing me fire.
That guy was dangerous. I don't think I can make it.
No, I'm never doing that. All right, man.
Sharp, man. Yeah. All right.
All right. Well, there's no man in their right mind who just show up at house, you know, just to find their kids, you know, sitting in the sitting room with their wife. And they ask, oh, daddy, you're bleeding. What happened? No man will just go, hey, there's this guy that I ran in. Boy, that guy was showing me blow after blow. I did not stand a chance. Nope. We all go, you know what? Those guys will never play with me again because, oh yeah, with this my fist, I showed them flames.
To all Eagle FM listeners, do you want to stand a chance to win a voucher of $500 Namibian weekly? Answer this easy question. Please tell us, what are the three colors of the USAVE logo? Please SMS your answer to 081-200-4144 and tune in every Friday between 1:45 and 2:00 to find out if you are the lucky winner. The winner will be announced every Friday live on air between 1:45 and 2:00. Participate weekly to improve your chance. We'll save at USAVE.
Lipurane ngeno wapombwa Eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwe kudite okoye ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pombwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu atatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome to Mind the Gap with Helmut on Eagle FM. We continue. The time is 29 minutes left to the hour of 11. And it's Thursday. And like I pointed out earlier, broke as a heck. But thank heavens, it's Thursday. And tomorrow is Friday. Yebo! Weekend still broke. I don't go out anyway, so. So now, where are we? You will, no one in their right mind would, you know, tell their wife and kids that, you know, the reason why they are bleeding is because, well, they lost the fight. We all just go, you know what, you see, in the 1970s, Malaysia example, in the 1970s, it's estimated that over, you know, about, give or take 60% of Malaysia's, corporate assets were still owned by foreigners. And, of that non-Malaysian stake, a third remained British controlled. Now, this is British controlled. It was owned by, British controlled was a company known as, Guthrie Corporations Limited. Those guys basically owned a large chunk of Malaysian land because they had a lot of their plantations going on there. Now, the thing saying is the Malaysian government knew that they needed this land for them to have some degree, for them to achieve their economic independence that they were going, that they wanted to achieve. The problem is, the English, as you'd expect, would not just play ball into, giving this land. They came up with one excuse after another. The Malaysians were like, okay, so, well, since our game is not playing good enough, how about we do this your way? We'll just play your rules. And dear Lord, were these guys smart. So, about 60% of Malaysians' corporate assets were still owned by foreigners, and of that non-Malaysian stake, two-thirds remained British control. And Professor Shakila Yaacob, in Unfinished Business of Malaysia's Decolonization, actually outlines that in a somewhat very fascinating way. So by the time a certain Mahathir comes to Prime Minister in order for him to carry out his dream of well-developed Malaysia, he knew he had to do something pretty drastic to ensure he kept what was ours. Now, this is the British being stubborn into giving up what is they stole. Now, what someone to acquire legally, basically the same thing that you see with the British Museum. We stole your stuff, but for you to get it back, you'll have to go through us. You know, follow this diplomatic channel, that diplomatic channel. So in September 1981, dawn, that indicates that the operation was pulled off in the morning. Now, in a dawn raid on the London Stock Exchange on September 7th, 1981, the premier British rubber and oil palm conglomerate in Malaysia, the Guthrie Corporation Limited, because this was, the Guthrie Corporation Limited had a large chunk of, controlled a large chunk of British, not British, Malaysian, Malaysian territory, so that they can have rubber and palm oil plantations. Now, Guthrie Corporations Limited was taken into local control in less than 4 hours. Now, this is a company which is headquartered in London. But in terms of stock and shares and everything, the majority shareholders of this stock were in London. Now, the goal of this operation, which involved, involved a business strategist and a politician with a burning desire to take control of his country's economy. There's a reason why I'm choosing these words. Listen carefully. Now, this was most dramatic Malaysian acquisition of the foreign company during the restructuring of the country's post-colonial, economy during the 1970s, 1980s. And Guthrie Dawn Raid remains a celebrated, but at a time, also contested juncture in contemporary Malaysian memory. Now, dawning upon a variety of sources, including original interviews and correspondence with many participants in the Observer of the Guthrie Dawn Raid, as well as the newly there's also a documentary about it related to the Anglo-Malaysian events of September 1981, just shows, believe me, that the best way to fight a modern wars is not with a gun and the battlefield. No. It's not with a gun and the battlefield. It's with your ngondo.
I'm trying to figure out a way to summarize this unfinished business of Malay Momento Dawn Raid. Just you know, going through the whole book, which is it's a giant one. So, oh, Momento. I think I lost my page. Now I have to scroll all the way. Nonsense.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the Eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper.
Welcome back. Right, we're good. Okay, yeah, paywall. Are you now? What is known as the Dawn Raid in summary is is basically how three public officials, I'm not sure about the business strategist if he was part of the government of Malaysia at the time. These are three brains that came together, and they decided to use the business strategist's brilliant idea. They also had one of the gentlemen that was involved in their operation was they had a seasoned business strategist and a seasoned banker. Now these guys obviously understand how the world of global economy operates, so they gave the very few politicians that were involved in this operation that the best way to beat these guys at their game, if you really want to beat them at their game, first of all, you will have to understand that if this goes south, our country is toast. Understand the risk. Now, that's one. The second thing is, the best way to beat them, because they keep claiming, well, we are the majority shareholders, so therefore we run everything. If you want to take over this, this plantation, at least a large chunk of it, where you are actually in charge, this is what you have to do. You can imagine, the seasoned business strategist gave his expertise. The seasoned banker gave his expertise. And on the 7th of September, before the stock exchange even opened, the business, the entire England realized that yesterday, on the 6th of September, they were the majority shareholders of Guthrie. On the 7th of September, the next morning, the Malaysians were the majority shareholders of Guthrie. Therefore, they wielded ultimate power to do with the plantations pretty much anything they wanted because, well, remember, the Malaysians did not write these rules. They were just following them, and they used on a reverse card that they found on this giant economic chessboard to their advantage. And that pissed off Margaret Thatcher so much, she almost turned red. Well, she's white. Of course, she turned red. Was white, and because she, I'm told, she kicked the bucket at some point. We all go into that direction. Relax. So, a dawn raid refers to an early morning visit, early morning. That's a wrong, dawn raid. Yebo, now. Got the right one. Dawn raid, Malaysia refers to a significant economic maneuver. You see, that's the language I was looking for. Maneuver carried out on the 7th of September 1981, where a Malaysian government, Pemodal Nasional Bernard, which is, this was their SOE.
acquired a majority stake in Guthrie, in Guthrie Corporations, a British-owned plantation company on the London Stock Exchange. Now, what Malaysia did here was they used their SOE to maneuvers to pull off some one of the sophisticated business maneuvering in terms of grabbing ownership, literally. Actually, not literally. I mean, stock is something that's just in the digital world. Grabbing the majority shareholding in a foreign company, which is basically had them in a chokehold in terms of ownership of their own land. And by the time that the majority owners of the previous day of the 6th of September 1981 realized that they have lost ownership, the Malaysian government was celebrating. What happened here is somewhat the same thing that Mozambique did, except Mozambique used their SOEs to steal money. And the Malaysian government did not use the SOE to steal money. They used the SOE to steal back, ownership of their own land. And boy, did they nail it. Did I mention that Margaret Thatcher almost got a heart attack? Yeah. I just liked, rubbing it in there. Yeah, the Don Raid in Malaysia refers to a significant economic maneuver carried out on the 7th of September 1981, where the Malaysian government through PNB acquired majority stake in Guthrie Corporation, a British-owned plantation company on the London Stock Exchange. The operation involved the brokerage, as in brokering, firms Rowe and Pitman and M&G Investment purchasing Guthrie shares, with PNB securing a 51% stake within 10 minutes of trading. I'm telling you, this was genius.
Experience the best of freedom and flexibility with Flex. Parata's Flex bundles now offer you even more freedom of choice, so that you can enjoy quality internet on the go or at home. Choose between fiber with mobile LTE or Sky-Fi with mobile LTE packages, starting from as little as 650 Namibian dollars per month, excluding VAT. You get more for less with Flex. Visit paratas.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have added.
Welcome back. One moment. Welcome back. Mind the Gap with Helm on Eagle FM. The best way to win the war in this whole, modern economies is not to go to war and blow up, blow up stuff. No. So the operation involved the brokerage, the operation involved a brokerage firm and an SOE which worked together with the gentleman. One was a seasoned banker, one was a seasoned is a fancy way of saying an experience, has been in the game for a very long time, so they know how to maneuver the cards by the time that the opponent realize what's going on, it's too late for them. I know. And Malaysia was not invaded, by the way, because they used the British game against them. Their own game against them. So they used that group with the SOE securing 51% of stake within 10 minutes of trading, enabling Malaysia to reclaim control of Guthrie's management and plantations. The takeover was executed in such precision that Guthrie's management remained unaware until it was complete. Eh? Oh, yeah. The Guthrie Don Raid transferred ownership of vast plantation assets into Malaysian hands, aligning with the, you know, with the new economic policy, the N, you know, the NEP. They are the new economic policy. That's they are, you know, that was like the goal that the Malaysian government wanted to achieve. The new economic policy that they wanted to achieve. But the thing is, they had everything on paper. They had everything that they wanted to achieve on paper. But the problem is, it was very difficult to achieve when the, you know, when a large part of the land is under foreign control. They decided, well, you know what? Well, since our way is not working, how about we do it their way? And boy, did it work. Yeah, so Guthrie's, so that's a new economic policy objectives to increase, economic participation. The acquisition was a part of Malaysia's effort to regain control over key economic resources previously held by foreign entities, and particularly during the post-colonial period. Flu is beginning to show me flames. Now, this event is considered a significant moment in Malaysia's economic history, making a decisive step into a country's decolonization process. And the raid also strained a relationship between Malaysia and the United Kingdom, prompting British Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher to enact a stricter stock market regulation to prevent similar events. This is my cousin is an IT major. Which branch of IT? Don't ask me, because believe me, I have no idea. And he described cybersecurity in an interesting way to me one day. That look, the thing that everyone that is in the field of information technology, whatever branch is that they are specializing in, understands is that firewalls or any form of cybersecurity is not a wall. It's not a literal wall. There are gaps. If you just look close enough, at if you study the wall that's blocking you long enough, you can find the loopholes. It's sort of like lock picking. That's something I was obsessed about at some point. That's because look, the knowledge is out there. It turns out there are YouTube channels that are dedicated to this stuff that you can just it's very scary. But it's also fascinating to sort of like understand the inner working mechanisms of a lock. And I like puzzles. So, and also did I mention I don't go out a lot? So you have to understand that I've had a lot of things to keep me busy at home. And that's why I don't like going out. Now, the thing is, these things, the Malaysian government, this is just an SOE that decided, you know what? You can imagine there's an economic advisor here. Now, this economic advisor to the president or the prime minister decided, you know what, how do we get back this land? Should we, pick up arms and go to war? I mean, we could do that, but then the land will just be covered in landmines and so we'll be useless for another 20 to 40 years. We don't have time for that. So, guerrilla warfare, the British, they have a strong enough military to basically pummel you to death. Now, if you're an underdog, you're going to have to think outside the box. Now, that's exactly what the Malaysian government did. So they decided to get several entities, both private and public, that they could trust, because this was an ultimate secret. As you can imagine, they paid these firms to help them find a loophole in the stock market exchange that they would exploit in order for them to gain majority share, therefore reclaiming land ownership, putting a large chunk of the foreign owned land ownership back into the hands of the Malaysian government. As you can imagine, these firms were like, yeah, absolutely. Just give us the right amount of money and we're going to do it for you. Let me give you an example of why that is coming straight out of the Western playbook. Every time a president is overthrown, every time any government is overthrown by the West, a lot of people like to blame the countries. Oh, come on, no. Don't blame the country. That's why I've made that point where I don't blame the country. I find out that leader that was overthrown, what did he say? What law was he planning on enacting? Once you find out what law was that guy was planning on enacting, you realize this law, if they were enacted, who would lose the most? Which multinational companies are operating in this country? And if these laws were passed, which one of them would have the most to lose? Once you get to that point, you will realize it's very easy to conclude that, it was these guys that took a lot of money, gave it to the American, the British, or the Russian, the Chinese government, and then the Chinese government took that money and gave it to what they call the intelligence community, and some PR campaign firms that came to start a smear campaign of that guy, labeling him a dictator, military junta, all kinds of negative names, you name it. This is just a firm that is doing what it was paid to do. It's like me, paying Hunters International to hack you. They don't care why I want to hack, why I want to have access to your cell phone or your laptop. As long as I pay them money, that's what they do. Give them money and they will hack into any system. Just give them enough money or they will do the hacking. A couple of years ago, Sony was making a movie on Kim Jong-un, the president, dictator, whatever side you are in. I don't have time or energy for that anymore. The leader of North Korea. Heck, the president of North Korea. Get out of here. Sony was making a movie about Kim Jong-un, and Kim Jong-un didn't like that. And this is the West making a movie out of Kim Jong-un. You can imagine there's nothing, there was no good portrayal coming out of that movie at all. So it's interesting to see that around the same time frame that Sony was making that movie before its release, they were hacked by an organization known, by a hacking group known as the Lazarus Group. And there are a lot, the same way that you have a lot of armed groups like Al-Qaeda, Al-Shabaab, M23, Boko Haram and all that. Hacking groups are exactly like that. They are scattered across the world now. If you know the right people, they will walk you through the right doors of guys that will do things with a computer you never thought your computer can do. Actually, your computer can do that, at least not without blowing up. Because you need a lot of modifications. And for one, the first thing they're going to tell you is step one, don't run Windows or Mac. Don't. Because Windows and Mac are designed for, ordinary consumers like you and me. They don't have the tools that is used in network penetration, which one lady pointed out to me that a lot of beginners, begin with Linux and they start with Kali. Like Wiz Khalifa, like not that type of Kali. This Kali Linux, I had to Google the heck out of everything because then when I was like, ouch, oh, whoa. There's a lot of network penetration tools. And I was looking at an operating system and went like, hush, yeah. Look, I understand jokes. This is rocket science for me. Yeah. I'll just stick to click left, click right, open window, click Google, then we'll call it a day. Now, one thing that's fascinating is most hacking groups are coming out of Asia. I know. So, African leaders. Malaysia used different firms, used different, different entities within their proximity with a lot of experts, with trusted experts to take advantage, to sort of like study an entire system. You can imagine this took at least months, if not years of studying. They had to understand how, or at least they had to get someone who understands how the stock market operates. And what are the loopholes? And how can they use them to gain a large chunk of shares, which will enable them to get ownership or, to reclaim back through that ownership their land, which was foreign controlled. Again, the Malaysians didn't say, let's go, just go to war and start shooting people. No. Time for brute force is gone, guys. Brute force doesn't work anymore. It's brain power that counts. Which is why I think I totally understand why the Americans hate the Chinese. By that I mean why the American government hates the Chinese government. Because the Chinese government, I think, figured that part halfway through the 20th century. And also, almost halfway through the 21st century. We're not even we're nowhere near halfway through the 21st century. We're still like left with another 25 years before it's 2050. So, the Chinese use brain power. A lot of Western guys still rely on brute force. And it's not working anymore. Brute force just doesn't cut it anymore. It's brain power, Africa. Wake up.
Slow internet should be a headache of the past, yet many Namibians have connections that just aren't fast. We have a solution that might set you free. It's called Mobile LTE, and it comes with real speed. You'll enjoy up to 50 megabytes per second from just 300 Namibian dollars a month and free internet browsing after midnight till 6. When it comes to staying connected, this is it. Visit paratus.africa/Namibia or our branches nationwide and experience the thrill of better internet with Paratus by your side. Always
Paratus. Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back. Where was I? Moral of the story, Africa, brute force doesn't count. Brain power counts. Except instead of using your country's SOEs to steal money, use your country's SOEs to reclaim ownership using strategies that are unheard of. Now, anyone that has seen the TV show Billions understands just how sophisticated the global economic world is. I'm telling you, the level of processing power it requires, like brain processing power, you need experts. That's exactly what the Malaysian government did. And then they talk about, you know what, I have to recolonize. Let's just go out there and hate everyone. The Malaysian government was like, oh, no, we're not hating anyone. Actually, we didn't invent the games. We didn't write the rules. We just study the system. And by the way, any system, no system is flawless. Any system has flaws that can be taken advantage of. Any system. That says something that has to do with something in science known as the efficiency. There is no machine that's 100% efficient. Nada. So you use that to basically take advantage of the situation. Now, The Malaysians figured that part out. So, are we gonna figure it out? Although, like I pointed out earlier, well, the Malaysian government used, you know, companies in their country to reclaim back, you know, to reclaim back their land. Eish, African countries. Yo, the Mozambique back in 2016 used an SOE in the country to borrow billions of dollars, about 1.2 billion, to revamp their, their maritime infrastructure, and then chopped the money. Now they owe, you know. Hey, wifey.
Yes, chop the money.
Chop the money.
Chop the money.
Yeah, I know.
The money must be chopped.
You say chop the money, and then stop saying, you know what, I want to be independent. Yeah, as long as you owe someone money, you're not going to be independent. what do you mean? Do you want to be independent while you owe me money?
Why not? I can be independent and still owe you money.
Someone once pointed out that in our meme comedy world that, look, this whole nonsense of gaining weight while you owe me money is a sign of disrespect.
Yeah, why are you gaining weight when you are owing me money?
Yeah, that's a sign that...
But also, guys, how do you end up owing people money? I don't understand that. How do you end up owing people money?
Oh, easy. Just, shop a lot.
Huh?
Shop a lot.
No, but how do you end up...
And then borrow a lot.
Me, you can even come to me telling me you're about to die. If I don't borrow you money, you will die. I will tell you, I think just die. I'm not participating.
One thing I have, come to learn is that, I think it's a language issue, because when a lot of us say borrow me money, what we mean is give me money.
Yeah, we are not asking for the money with intentions.
Because after you give them that money,
poor, the money is gone. You are not gonna get it back.
Yeah.
So, but I've also gotten to a space where when you come to me asking to borrow money, if I have the money,
mm-hmm.
I'll just give it to you with my conscience convinced that whether I get the money or not back, it's fine.
I'm good.
Yeah, I make peace with it. I don't borrow people money.
There's one advice I gave one of my homies. I'm like, because he had this tendency of going until he's negative. That's when he's telling people that I don't have money. I'm like, dude, really? Look, my account is going to come up until a certain level.
Yeah.
Then anything lower than that is mine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, you know, you can be in a hospital, you can be in the ICU.
No.
No.
I don't have money.
Because I know that if I go straight down to zero, then I will join you into
borrowing money, and I don't want to be in that
situation. No.
And this is something that people don't understand when you tell them, I don't have money. It does not mean you completely don't have money. I just don't have money to assist you or to come through for
you. The ones that I have, it's all allocated.
For me, yes.
Look, when the government say we don't have money, we all know they have money.
No, they don't
it's
have
just
money.
Allocated to it's a bunch allocated. Of projects.
Yes. You know, such as buying new Pajeros.
It's not even funny anymore at this point.
Or new machete, like the other people call it. Machete. I was so confused the first time I heard that.
Machete. Isn't that that's scary.
Machete.
You want to buy a machete?
Machete is Mercedes.
Machete is a panga.
That's also what I thought. But then I came to learn that the person was talking about a whole Mercedes.
Uh-huh.
Machete. Echete. Yeah, they even say echete.
You know,
maybe it's that the John's people who even say machete.
Yeah, John, echete. John, that was Abigail. what?
E300. Black in color.
Echete. E300.
Yes. You know? So, yeah. Anywho.
I know.
I know. Why are you stretching yourself?
I'm just preparing to leave so that I can leave you in peace. Month end is coming. I'm not making fun of John.
yesterday it was month end, you guys, and then I got in this taxi. I don't know, but I don't think that taxi driver is from Zambezi. But funny enough, he put on the Silozi radio station. And then there's this famous song that usually plays on payday. I love the song. I usually sing it for my listeners. And the song played. I was so happy. Yo, it was so nice. There's a song for payday. I don't know if you guys also have one in your language, but we do have one.
There's a song for payday.
Yes! Fapay! It's like that. Fapay. Lubona Shangweri. Makazo. Get out.
Our kids are so killing us.
Say goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye. I'm see Alejandre.
Lukato vonana happy.
Lukato vonana happy. I haven't seen that guy in a while.
Why do you keep saying Lukato?
You know, well,
you are literally just mentioning the men. Like.
No, I didn't. Until like tomorrow, same
Martin,
time, same
you
place.
Tomorrow. Like Martin tomorrow. Lukato.
Okay, but this one, you know, this one is here to get me. She started with John, now she's with Lukato.
Hi, Tate John.
I can imagine Tate John going.
Sign out, because now he can understand me. When I speak my language, he doesn't understand anything.
I can imagine, you know, when you said hi, Tate John is going, stop, please. We really have to go.
He's blushing.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have the capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager